Yes, I thought it would be good to introduce me since I've been gone for a while. You might not remember who I was. Okay. God's got a sense of humor, that's why I'm a pastor. It's good to be back. A couple of quick things I want to mention. One of the things that we did when I was on vacation was visit a couple of churches with some friends of mine. Obviously, since I'm expected to be here on Sunday morning, I don't get to visit their churches. That was kind of fun. And I just want to make an observation. The churches that we attended had larger attendance. And the one that their worship team was gone that week, and they had a large youth group who was active and stuff. But we walked out and we kind of went, okay. And we went to another church, my friends, and they had a wonderful worship team. They had two guitar, a bass player, drums, a saxophone, a flute, four vocalists. You know, it's like people. But yet when it was time to worship, it was a good performance. When I'm here and with you, I feel the Spirit of God here and worshiping with us. It was just the one thing that Donna and I noticed is that we just didn't feel the Spirit of God falling on the room. And we often feel that here. It's not just an occasional thing. And I always feel the Spirit in our worship. So just want you to know that I do believe that God is using us and is visiting here with us. Oh, let's pray. Father, as we come to look at your word this morning, we just ask you would send your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us through that passage. Lord, that as we visit the words that you have written, it wouldn't be just a visit of somebody, of strangers, but that would be one of intimate friends. That we would come close to you, and we would indeed lift up our eyes to Jesus and receive all the wonderful mercy and grace that he does indeed have for us. Not just for salvation, but for power in living this very day. Now, Lord, we just give you this service and this time. I pray that the words that I speak might touch the hearts of the people here, because you speak in those words, Lord. Draw us each one closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be going back to the book of John. We've kind of had a hiatus from that. But we're going back. We're going to be there for a little while yet. We're still on chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 16, is where we are. Let's read. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Let me just stop right there for a moment and just remind you what was happening before that. The passage before that was speaking of Jesus healing the paralytic man at the pool of Bethesda. Okay? And he did this on the Sabbath day. And he told this man to pick up his mat and walk. Your sins have been forgiven. So let's move forward now. Now Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Father, or does not honor the Son, does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Amen. Let me contrast that powerful passage with this silly story. A man was driving down the highway, and he saw a rabbit hopping across the road. He swerved to avoid hitting the rabbit, but unfortunately the rabbit jumped out in front of the car and was hit. The driver, being a sensitive man as well as an animal lover, probably a member of PETA, pulled over to the side of the road and got out to see what had become of the rabbit. Much to his dismay, it was dead. The driver felt so awful, he began to cry. A woman driving down the same road came along. She saw the man crying on the side of the road and pulled over. She stepped out of her car and asked the man what was wrong. "I feel terrible," he explained. "I hit this rabbit and I killed it." The woman told him not to worry. She knew what to do. She went to her car trunk, pulled out a spray can, walked over to the limp rabbit and sprayed the contents of the can onto the animal. Miraculously, the rabbit came to life, jumped up, waved its paw at the two humans, and jumped down the road 50 yards away. The rabbit stopped, turned around, and waved again. Hopped down the road another 50 yards, stopped, waved again. And so on. And the man was astonished. He couldn't figure out what the substance could be in this woman's spray can. He ran over to the woman and demanded, "What was in your can? What did you spray on that rabbit?" The woman turned the can around so that the man could read the label. It said, "Hairspray. Restores life to hair, adds permanent wave." What have the two have anything to do with each other, you ask? Where is he going with this train wreck? Well, some of the places we look for solutions and for eternal life are just as silly as that can of hairspray. We're not looking to Jesus. We're looking everywhere else. Sometimes it is something as silly as a can of hairspray. Check out the time some people spend in front of the mirror. You'd think it was going to give them eternal life. But that's just not it. Here we see Jesus, who declares himself to be divine in this very passage. And the the priests, they get bent out of shape about this whole thing, because when he says, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working, they take that to be a statement claiming equality with God, being the very Son of God, which of course makes him divine also. And even Jesus says that he can't do anything other than what the Father is doing. But these people who looked to Jesus, and they looked at him without seeing him. They looked on the face of God and didn't see it, because they were looking elsewhere for salvation. They weren't looking to the intent of the law. They were looking to the letter of the law. Now, what got them so bent out of shape? Well, how many of you here know the Ten Commandments? Ever heard of them? Come on, I'd like to see at least one or two more. Okay. I'm not covering completely new ground here, am I? Okay. Anybody remember what the fourth commandment is? Right? Okay. Let me read for you from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Ah, that's the one that one of the ones that Jesus broke, according to the priests, because he was doing, quote unquote, work on the Sabbath day. Well, what does it tell us? It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Let me just put that out there. But do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor your alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We said, well, there it says, Jesus said, you're not supposed to do any work, not just your work, or not Jesus, but God speaking through Moses. Where are you going with this? Here we have this restriction, no work. Then we see this apparent work of Jesus doing healing. How many of you think a healing is a work? We're kind of in limbo here. No, none of you think it's a work, or some of you do, some of you are unsure. Well, they thought of it as work. I see it as a work of the Holy Spirit, because I don't heal anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. And Jesus did that work through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what is holy? What does it mean to keep a day holy? What does the word holy really mean? It basically is to keep it pure, set apart for special service to God. When we keep something holy, we set it apart and we keep it just for God. This is special for Him. So that's what we're supposed to do on the Sabbath. Now, did what Jesus do, was that for himself or was that for God? That's the question I'll ask you. Jesus didn't do it for himself. He did what he saw the Father doing. And he says that all that he did is he sought to please his Father. That's why he did it. Because he saw his Father doing it and he wanted to please his Father. Now, some people think that rest is like this. Or maybe even like this. Now this is good. I might just stay here a while. But you can only lay like this and do this for so long. How many of you on your vacation spend your entire time in bed? Some of you might spend a little extra time. I know I did. I didn't get up early when I didn't have to. But that isn't the only way you rest. A lot of rest has an energy component to it. A lot of things that we do that are restful, that renew us and restore us, can actually be physically demanding. Anybody ever play a game of touch football? Now, if all you've been doing is work, 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 and then you go play, isn't that restful? It kind of drains away the stress. Isn't it? That is rest. Rest often has that quotient of activity. There's a certain amount of activity to it. And when we... Now, this is what we're supposed to be doing, sanctified rest. So what's sanctified rest? Well, all that we do is supposed to be for God on that day. That's what means keeping the Sabbath holy. Well, literally, we should be doing that each and every day. It tells us that as we worship, as we live, all that we do, we're supposed to be doing it as unto the Lord. But on that particular day, on the Sabbath, we're set apart. Saying, just seek to please me that day. Just seek to be with me. I just want to visit with you. Maybe we're going to go out and play touch football. Maybe we're going to go visit one of my other children. And I'll use you to touch them. To hug them. Maybe give them a gift that I have for them. Maybe that gift is healing. But God says, on the Sabbath, I want you to spend that especially with me. And Jesus did that. He spent that Sabbath day with his Father. That's why he knew that that man was to be healed, because he saw his Father doing it. He said, I can't do anything except that I see the Father do it. Who was Jesus seeking to please? Was he seeking to please others? Well, no. As a matter of fact, he ticked them off. Seriously ticked them off. They got mad at him. They were... For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. I consider that high on the ticked off scale. They didn't like him. They didn't like what he was doing. He was not pleasing them. We find later in Scripture and other places, Jesus wasn't even trying to please his friends. I'll see later when in chapter 6, a lot of them leave because he says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, whoa, I don't know how to deal with this. So Jesus didn't try to please others, not even those who he counted his friends. Neither did he seek to please himself. He always laid out that he did what it was his Father was directing him to do. And we even see in the garden, Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. As he agonized over his fate of going to the cross. Because remember, it was not a pleasant thing, a pleasant experience. Instead, Jesus sought approval from one place. The Father. That's very, very, very good for us that he did that. Because without that, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Because it was the Father's will, the Father's desire, that we receive salvation. See, there's an important reason why seeking after God's will is the only good will to seek after. You see, He's the one that has a perfect will. Everybody else's is imperfect. If you seek to please me, well, as long as I'm perfectly in God's will, you're okay. I have news for you. Your pastor is not perfectly in God's will. Not 100% all the time. Sorry. I busted your bubble. I'll talk again next week. No. Nobody is. There isn't one person here who has ever walked the face of this earth other than God Himself, who is without sin, who has a perfect will. And when we seek to follow any other will other than God's, what we are seeking isn't what is best. When we seek the imperfect and we find it, we end up with less than perfect. Why is that important? Well, because we can't get our salvation from that can of hairspray. We can't get salvation by doing what it is we want to do. How many of you paid any attention whatsoever to Mike Tyson's fight? We got one. You know, it was 49 seconds of, 49 seconds and Mike knocked this guy out. Now, Mike is talking. The only place he has any peace is when he's in the ring trying to pummel somebody. And he picks out people who he can easily pummel because he says he's not ready to go back and fight Lewis again because he doesn't want to get beat up. Now, Mike himself said, he is fighting demons. But you see, he says, when I'm out of the ring, I like to do what I want to do. He says, I like to drink, I like to get high, I like to party. And he can't figure out why his life is such a mess. Whose will is he following? Well, sometimes he's seeking to please Mike Tyson. Gets $5 million for 49 seconds of going bam on somebody. Sometimes he's seeking to please the promoters. He fights a fight because they say, you need to do this. You have a commitment. So he fights to somebody like this guy who was chosen specifically because he's got a glass jaw. He's a good knockout chance. You hit him on the jaw and he's down. Mike said, I can do that. We can be like Mike. There was even a big advertising program about Michael Jordan. I want to be like Mike. That's not the right role model. Our right and perfect role model is always going to be Jesus. Paul even tells us, follow my example as long as I am following the example of Jesus. And I'll say the same to you. Follow my example only in as much as I follow the example of Jesus. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. And my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have set before us someone whom we can seek to please, who is indeed perfect. You've told us that we can just lift up our eyes to You and follow You. You came and You walked this earth specifically to show us how to do that. For Jesus, as You walked, You said, I'm not doing anything except other than what I see My Father doing. Lord, help us each one to see what it is You are doing and to do it. Instead of trying to come up with our own way of doing things, Lord, might we indeed do it Your way. May we follow You. And by such, may we reap the blessings that You have for us here on this earth. And might we lay up treasures in heaven according to Your good and perfect will. Lord, You tell us that whoever hears Your word and believes that You sent Jesus whoever hears that has eternal life. Whoever believes it, hears and believes, Lord, You put that to be one. So, Lord, may we hear and believe and live it. May we seek not after the will of the world, who only wants to tear us down and use us, our own will, which is perverted and leads us astray. Instead, might we follow Your will, which will bless those around us and bring glory and honor to Your name. Amen.